Coming to you from Google Cloud Next 2024 in Las Vegas, Nevada, I'm Billy Mitchell, executive editor of Scoop News Group. Thanks so much for tuning in. Today we have a special podcast recorded from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino on the Vegas Strip, home of Next 2024 with more than 30,000 attendees. For this podcast, I'm joined by Chris Hine, head of customer engineering for Google Public Sector. During our conversation, Hine detailed how Google is responsibly developing AI applications for the public sector, the continued importance of cybersecurity to public sector missions, and other top challenges facing public sector entities. This is one of many interviews captured at Google Next, so make sure to tune into the others released throughout this week. Now, without further ado, here's my interview with Chris Hine. Chris, thanks so much for joining me. We're here at Google Next, and looking forward to hearing more about what you're working on. So thanks again for joining me.
No, I'm delighted to have a chance to talk to you about it. And this has been such an amazing event. I've been at Google for 10 years, and to see 30,000 people descend on a location to talk about the stuff that Google Cloud is doing, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it you can feel that there's 30,000 people. It's a lot of people. But it's exciting, and there's been a lot of announcements in the product and service space. So I'd love to hear, you know, you work on the inside with public sector clients and customers, and when you look and hear those announcements, what are the ones that you think are most exciting for the public sector?
Yeah, I think that the biggest things that we've been seeing as we look through both the announcements and just kind of the course of what's been happening lately is really leaning into how does, especially when you think about AI and generative AI being kind of the hot topic of the day, but how does that start to change how government relates, especially to its constituents? And so you think about many of these services are being built out from like a customer perspective. And so what I really enjoy doing, and I think it's really important for government agencies to think about, is how do they take their constituent services and make them 10 times better than they are today and use some of these AI tools and techniques to start to match class, right? Like a lot of folks have this experience of their governments not being the same kind of quality of experience as what they get when they use an app on their phone. Yeah. And so I think this is this kind of remarkable moment in time because of the fact that the AI services, the barrier to entry is actually quite low. Being able to use these things does not take a whole lot of work or a whole lot of know-how. And so I think it really starts to open the door for way better experiences. So I'd say that's certainly one of those things, right? When you look at how some of these different AI models are working, and then we can probably get into it, but then you start to think about, okay, if we're going to do that, how do we do it safely, responsibly, you know, making sure that we're reducing hallucinations and all those kinds of things that we talk about these days. And so there have been a ton of great announcements made today that I think will really help agencies feel more comfortable to use things like this.
You talk to a lot of customers across, you're mainly focused on state and local, but you talk to a lot of customers. What kind of applications are they either wanting to use AI for, or are they currently? Are there good examples of people who are using Gen AI or AI, or whatever sorts of AI adjacent technologies today?
Yeah, I think it breaks into a couple of different categories in terms of the ways that the folks that I talk to are both excited to use it and have already been using it. And so one is on that, you know, constituent facing side, right? And sometimes this is inside of call center technology, right? So we've been doing this in a whole bunch of places, you know, including helping out in the state of Hawaii during a time of, you know, crisis with their wildfires, where they needed to stand up a AI powered call center in literally 72 hours so that when people needed a call to figure out how to get help and support, there was something there to do, right? And so it's something that could answer the phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So those are things we're certainly seeing a lot of excitement, interest in just figuring out how to create those types of constituent services. I think there's a lot also, you know, up in Wisconsin, we're doing a lot of work with their Department of Workforce Development to try to help them to really kind of reinvent and think about how to do unemployment insurance, you know, moving forward. And that's been a really exciting project from a lot of perspectives, one of which is just, you know, it's an old mainframe application, and so it's taken them a long time to try to modernize. And so we've really been trying to help them to figure out how do they A, provide better services really quickly, but B, also do better data analytics in the back end to figure out, hey, what are proper and improper claims? And how do we get that process moving faster to make sure that we're doing the right thing with taxpayer dollars? So those are two big ones. And then the last one that I'd say there's been a phenomenal amount of interest around is taking the world of data and actually getting to the point where we can really derive better insight out of it. And so there's a lot of interest because, you know, an old school way of thinking about building a dashboard, it often takes government agencies weeks just to add like a new table to a dashboard, right? Because, you know, the data's in a silo somewhere and you got to figure out how to get access to it. And then you got to merge it with the existing data sets to make that all possible. And what we're seeing with generative AI is this ability to just legitimately have a conversation with your data and then be able to ask questions and have that presented to you with both an answer and then also maybe here's the next question you might want to ask. And so there's just this really interesting idea now of both from an internal facing perspective for their employees to be able to be more productive, but also what does open data look like going forward? Is there a way to make that be way more accessible by having it use these generative AI tools?
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. And, you know, you brought up a good point earlier about AI, and definitely one I want to explore is that element of safety, security, transparency. So how do you navigate that with public sector entities? Because I know in some cases when they do hold highly sensitive data sets or information, they do demand a higher level of transparency or security with that. So how do you have that conversation with a CIO or a CISO who's maybe a little more hesitant to jump into the generative AI space?
Yeah, I think that we need to make sure that what we're doing is absolutely, you know, you have to start from first principles on a lot of these things and really say that what Google's been building when we look at our AI strategy is it's building on top of this overall zero trust environment that says from the ground up, the number one thing we are going to care about is the security of that data set and the privacy of that data set. And so AI is not new to that. That's just another aspect of that exact same paradigm that we've been so focused on for so long. And so when you take that as kind of your first principle and you start there, then it's a matter of let's make sure that folks understand the choices that are available to them, right? And so they can use some of our best-in-class models, right? All the Gemini classes of models, and they can get access to those. And, you know, we're going through all the right approvals to get that into the same FedRAMP statuses that everything else that in our portfolio follows. But then if there are things that need to be more in the, you know, the data classifications that are going to be beyond that, right? Beyond the FedRAMP high data classifications, now we will also want to support that too, right? And so been really exciting to see just again this week, we had additions to our Gemma open source model that you can deploy into our GDCH environment or any other environment for that matter, but allows us to get to these kinds of workloads that, hey, if you can't even, you know, it has to be air-gapped, right? Those types of things. We can still support that. We don't have to shut that conversation down. They can still get some of this really amazing technology. It's just going to be of a different flavor than what we might see in kind of our commercial cloud offerings.
So off the topic of AI, are there other things that you're hearing from, you know, public sector customers that are really top of mind at this time? I'd imagine security is one of them. We sort of just talked about that, but are there other things that you would highlight that are top of mind across the space?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that security, even just beyond AI, which obviously has its own things that are important there, but security writ large is something that, you know, both at the federal level, but especially also inside of the state and local level, you know, it is so clear that the amount of attacks is only getting worse, right? I don't remember the exact stat off the top of my head, but it's somewhere north of 90 different zero days were discovered last year, which is, I think, three times higher than the year before that. And so what that means to us and what that means to our customers is that they have to be able to respond faster because they can't assume that the kind of defensive paradigms that they've used in the past are going to continue to protect them into the future. And so that's certainly been something, especially since Google acquired Mandiant, and that's kind of blended this kind of best of both worlds, right? Where Google has been at the forefront of how do you protect the cloud, right? Like, we were very good at that. And so now we add into this kind of idea of taking what Mandiant understands about the different threats that are in the landscape and be able to kind of combine those two services together. That's been something else that we've seen just a high amount of interest because of the fact that it is, you know, it's on a daily basis, it feels like we're seeing some new, you know, notification of breach. And so being able to deal with those things in a responsible way is something that's been very top of mind.
So to close out, you know, we're at Google Cloud Next. Looking forward to what is coming next. Is there anything else that you're excited about that you think is going to kind of define this space? Obviously, you know, AI security, those are the big topics, but anything else you want to talk to that you think are big trends coming forward in 2024?
I think to potentially beat the dead horse of AI, I can't stress enough how much this is going to change how government can work. Now, I do think that it's important that we do these things in the right way, because public trust is hard to come by. And so I want to make sure that as we deploy these different AI systems, we're doing it in a way that keeps it out of the headlines, right? Like, yes, privacy and security is important, but sometimes also just public trust is important. And so I think there's just these interesting new paradigms that are coming when you look at how much, you know, one of the big releases that we've got now is Gemini 1.5 Pro, which has a context window, which I won't go too far into the technical weeds here, but of a million tokens. And what that means is I can put the entire US tax code into a query and get answers back out of it. That changes how AI systems can work and how governments can. So again, it lowers that barrier to entry to a level where you can start to really see a tremendous amount of use cases that are going to be easier and easier and easier for governments to use. And I think when they see a couple of these successes start to roll out in their space, you're going to see a lot of fast follows.
Yeah, sounds like once the momentum gets going, there's a lot of exciting stuff around the corner. So, Chris, a lot of fun talking to you. Thanks so much for your time today.
Absolutely. Really appreciate you having me on.